aggressive than Mandingo. More shocking than Behind the Green Door. More erotic than Deep Throat.
Hi, this is Irv Katz, and welcome to Dial a Dork, the Cleveland radio home for nerds, geeks, and dorks. For the next hour, we'll take your calls about your crashed computer, your hung-up software, your level 17 paladin, or whatever geek-worthy topic you have in mind. Call us at 216-578-1300 and let the Dial a Dork community assist you. And now, here's your Cleveland dorks.
I just wanted to say that now I'm a nerd.
Y'all ready for this? Well, are you? Are you ready for this? It is Dial a Dork. Welcome, everybody, to another wonderful episode of the show featured in the Free Times this week.
I'm ready.
Featured? Did you say featured? Maybe sidebarred?
Come on, it was a feature.
It was clearly a feature
mentioned.
Front page article. All right, yes, it was the second part of City Chatter on page 10, but...
The second better part of City Chatter.
It's still a page with a 1 on it.
What does that mean?
Well, it's close to page 1. It's close to page 1. It was just...
as opposed to page 20
Another
something?
Zero away, that's all. An order of magnitude, as they say.
Anyway, go pick yourself up a copy and take a look. You're going to like it.
Not to mention you should read it anyway just to, you know, support local newspapers.
Well, it's free.
Yeah, exactly. They don't get any money out of that.
Well, no, but there's ads in there,
you're right.
Kind of thing. And it's a good, you know, location to find out about stuff going on in Cleveland.
Good deal.
Not to mention Scene Magazine, another good local rate.
Don't mention them yet. Wait. Don't mention them yet because they haven't run an article on us yet.
Yeah, but maybe if we mention them, they'll be proactive.
Little journalistic.
We're being proactive.
Journalistic quid pro quo.
Yeah, exactly.
All right,
that's what I'm saying.
But anyway, did you see something in the scene that caught your eye?
I don't know. Can we talk about strippers on this show?
Sure.
Oh well, there was a
wire strippers.
Yeah, wire
Very
strippers.
Very useful for soldering.
Exactly. Well, they're they had a cover story about implementing legislation in Ohio that prevents you from using strippers after 11 p.m.
Using.
And you can't come within 6 feet of those strippers.
You sure this wasn't your own personal restraining order?
This is not my own personal restraining order.
Why somebody would want to make legislation like that is really beyond my comprehension. I mean, don't they have anything else to think about?
Clearly not.
Once they figure this out, the schools will be easy.
Well, whatever constituency they have, everything must be perfect in their little town because clearly they have nothing more important.
Evidently, it's led by a Christian group out of Columbus,
according to
the article. Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
Anyway, on to, you know, other
dork-worthy
stuff.
Before I alienate a large potential Christian
audience.
You
know, dorks are pro-freedoms, pro-choice. You know, we look at the issues from all sides as intelligibly as possible.
We're pretty pro-porn. Also, and I think strippers fit into that quite nicely.
Everyone, if
you didn't know already, this is Dial a Dork. You can reach us here at 216-578-1300 or email us at dorks@dialadork.com. That's hyphenated, dial-a-dork.com. Give us a call. Give us an email if you have a little trouble with your computer, a little software problem, or if you have a little something geeky-like you want to talk about. Please, by all means, call us. And I am joined tonight by the regular cast, so it seems. We've got Dork Almighty Matt Minar.
Hello, Cleveland.
We've got the nicknameless Russ Miller.
Sweet.
And we've got Dewey the Answer Man, Drew Ivan.
Hello, Cleveland.
Shwing.
And hello to you back. Shwing.
I don't know, it just popped
that
in my head.
Hot.
I had
that
to do
was
it.
Hot, Drew, I gotta say. And answering the phones this week is Yoko the Architect.
She's babelicious.
Indeed she is. And working the board is our engineer, Warren, is that right? All right, his name is Warren, and so far so good. He played the right track for the opening, so we're off to a good start, 1-for-1. And you can give us a call here or email us, and we will talk about your problem, try to answer your problem, trying to get you the help you need.
What would you get if you called in tonight?
That's a very we like to give away T-shirts on this show in exchange for
it's what we do
in exchange for your time. And this week we're gonna go a little bit on the corny side. What we're gonna do is, a la Jeff Foxworthy, if I want you to answer this question for us. You might be a dork, or geek, or nerd, for that matter, if blank. So you might be a dork if blank. And I think that...
For instance,
if you made a power converter that you could use to charge your iPod out of an Altoids can and a 9-volt battery...
You might be Dewey the Answer Man.
You might be Drew, and you might be a dork.
Well, to be fair, the Altoids tin really doesn't have much to do with it at all.
But it keeps out... It's a Faraday cage for your project.
Oh, yeah, but duct tape would work just as well.
Not as a Faraday cage.
Duct tape has no metallic
but
properties.
But you use the Altoids licorice flavor, and it's a really stylish little case. I mean, it's...
I like the black border instead of the red border.
Exactly. It's aesthetically pleasing, I have to say.
Do you like black licorice over red licorice?
No, I usually like red licorice better.
He gave me one of those licorice Altoids, and it was a nasty trick.
All right, now look, let's make sure everybody can understand exactly what we're talking about here. Picture an Altoids can, and sticking out of one side,
a curiously strong Altoids can
with a curiously strong Duracell 9-volt battery inside, and some wires. And on one end of the can is a sort of a power connection that looks a little bit like what you might see on a motherboard. On the other side is
you might see it soldered, but in this case, it seems to be epoxied.
Well, yes. So some stuff is soldered in there. Some stuff is glued or what have you. And on the other side of the can or the tin is a female USB port, by which he plugs in his iPod and charge. Now, how much charge have you been able to get? I mean, how much life can you get out of a 9-volt battery? Man, that seems
well,
pretty
sweet.
Well,
you're leaving out the best part. In between the power coupling and the
USB
coupling.
Well, you're not supposed to look
behind
the curtain. Ignore the man behind the curtain.
I thought this was a show for dorks.
Please continue.
Is a voltage regulator that cuts down whatever comes in to 5 volts DC so that you don't burn out whatever you plug into the USB side.
And is that electrical tape over there? Is that special, like, camouflage electrical tape? Does that disperse heat particularly efficiently?
No, of course not.
Oh, I see.
Well, let me ask you this. What we really want to know is how much of a charge can you get out of a 9-volt battery for your iPod? I mean, can you recharge the whole thing completely?
I don't know yet. I'm still working on running it down.
Tune in next week for Dewey's full report on the iPod charging capability of the 9-volt battery. Well, that's pretty sweet, though. I got to say, it's a pretty nifty little invention, and it was... how long did it take you to do that?
Including
ordering.
Real time.
And how long did it take you to eat all the Altoids so that you could have an empty case?
Terrible. Well, I got rid of some of them last week when I gave them to Russ. The plans are out there on the internet if you Google for it. The parts are orderable from allelectronics.com, and it cost a couple of dollars. The most expensive part was the USB cable that I cut up to put in there, and that was like $19.99.
What?
I couldn't find a better deal on a USB extension.
Did you go to Micro Center?
Yes.
And they didn't have a better deal than that?
No, they didn't have a better deal than
That's
that.
That's unbelievable.
What about Gray Bar?
Believe it.
Wow. All right, we've got an email for you, and somebody better be able to answer this because they brought it up. Paul in Parma Heights wants to know, what the F is a Faraday case?
Faraday cage.
A cage.
Faraday is a scientist from some century. I'm going to guess the 19th. And he's the guy that figured out that if you surround stuff with metal, it doesn't send out radio waves. So anything that surrounds, like if you drive through a bridge and you can't get your radio station anymore, like a metal bridge.
Or you lose cell phone reception when Matt calls.
Right. Or if you put an Altoids tin around your electronics.
Or if you're sitting in a bar with a tin ceiling.
Right. It's actually, you can actually have holes in it, so it's like a cage. And that the frequencies blocked then are dependent on the size of your holes. That doesn't sound right. But if you have a solid thing, like an Altoids case, it'll keep everything out.
Are you giving dating advice or something, or are you talking about
That's
science?
That's right.
And you realize, of course, that has no bearing on this project. Which is why duct tape would work just as well.
Yes.
Somebody say something. I'm looking up Faraday cage right now.
You don't need to look up Faraday cage.
On the Wikipedia. The Faraday cage is an electrical apparatus designed to prevent the passage of electromagnetic waves, either containing them in or excluding them from its interior space. And it was named for the physicist Michael Faraday, who built the first one in...
19th century?
1836.
I am correct.
And it can have holes in it, of course, depending on the wavelength of the...
That's what I'm saying. And the reason I was totally stymied there and lost my train of thought is because I pulled up from one of the many links to try to check to inform people out in the airwaves before I become a dial-a-dork. I found bananaguard.com. You really got to check that out.
Is that like anything like bananahammock.com?
It's a bananaguard.com. I just suggest everybody go to www.bananaguard.com.
Oh, my God.
It stymied me.
Are you fed up with bringing bananas to work or school only to find them bruised and squashed? Our unique patented device allows for the safe transport and storage of individual bananas, letting you enjoy perfect bananas anytime, anywhere. And it comes in nine colors, including ravishing red, passionate purple, and glow in the dark.
Is it like a Faraday cage?
Electrical banana?
Oh, okay. Paul has written back again, and he says, you might be a dork if you say Faraday cage.
Fair enough.
However,
any physics reference,
no,
I think,
Paul,
really.
No, Paul, you do not win because Russ is the one who said Faraday cage, and he already has a t-shirt. Now, actually, Paul, if you email him with your address, we'll give you a shirt for that. That's pretty good. Anybody who says Faraday cage outside of actually teaching the lesson on the Faraday cage. Right. And even that person's probably pretty much a dork.
Yeah, really. The high school science teacher
was
ever the coolest guy.
You might be a dork if you teach lessons on Faraday cages.
That's right.
Here, I got one. I got one up for you here. Okay. Do you remember that movie with Will Smith and Gene Hackman?
Enemy of the State?
Enemy of the State. That's it. So the one scene, Gene Hackman's in his little hidey hole, and he's in a large kind of sub-room that's within a larger warehouse-type room, and where all his computer equipment is, it's surrounded by a chain-link fence. And he says specifically in that movie that is to cut down on the radio waves and electromagnetic radiation escaping from his computers that could thereby be snooped by some, you know, government agency,
or they could
like
put
the
waves
FBI
in his head,
or
like a tinfoil hat.
Tinfoil hat. There you go. Same principle.
So is Gene Hackman a dork?
In that movie,
movie, he sure is.
I was
going to
say
fantastic
that,
dork.
They don't encrypting things, and
and they don't call Matt Dork Almighty for nothing.
Not to mention that a while ago I read an article on intercepting information external to a computer where you can actually
packet sniffing?
No, not like
electromagnetically.
Electromagnetically,
packet
like
snorting?
You
RF.
Could, like you could sense the
packet huffing.
That might be a really good way to put it. That's good.
Something like that, but you could tell what was going through an Ethernet cable or something like that by detecting the radio waves that were emitted from it.
Did anybody remember about 2 or 3 years ago on Slashdot, they said that you could actually determine what data was being transferred by one of those old external modems that had the flashing TX and RX lights. And if you videotaped it and slowed it down, you could actually figure out what was...
You might be a dork if you can read the data going over a modem connection.
That's right. That's right. No doubt about that. Okay, we've got to move on to some
you
other
can
topics.
Personally
because,
demodulate.
Because Yoko said so. There's more news, incidentally, on the lost account info. I mean, it seems like every couple of weeks, another X hundred thousand or million, online accounts.
Let's not be,
we're lost.
Let's
stolen.
Not exaggerate here. I saw it was like only like 10,000 accounts this time.
No.
Oh, that, maybe that's
they
another one.
They had 40 million accounts.
Who did?
This company.
Which company?
I'm working
card
on it.
Card System Solutions.
That's it. They had all these accounts, and they claimed they weren't even supposed to be saving any of this account data, but now it turns out they did. They claimed they were using it for study, research purposes. I can't imagine what, but about 100,000 or so were compromised. And look, this comes back to the point that we've made over and over and over again, is that...
Listen, next week we'll talk about e-commerce.
Exactly. For the most part, the vast majority of e-commerce transactions that take place over the web are perfectly safe. Nothing's going to happen. But, even the most basic safeguards will probably get the job done, but it's the incompetence of people behind the scenes. It's unscrupulous companies. It's backup tapes lost by UPS.
It's called social engineering. I mean, people have to understand, especially if there's anybody out there who's actually managing an IT department and might be a little bit uncertain about how much they know, you need to make sure security is not just computer-based, server-based, and network-based, and, you know, in kind of keeping track of things. It's also about your procedures and the policies that you write and that you have people that follow them. Regular audits. I mean, there's companies out there that do security audits as their sole business just to make sure that you are doing the right thing. There is no reason, none at all, that a company like Citibank or Chase or any of the other, you know, large, you know, corporations we've talked to about should let this, you know, fall between the cracks at all. It's just, it's not forgivable.
I'll never forgive them.
I'm not either.
In fact, I'm not even on speaking terms with
Chase.
I'm
considering canceling my accounts from the, you know, from those two companies.
I don't even return their telemarketing calls.
There you go. Give them the cold shoulder.
That's right. There's another couple of things that we saw today on Slashdot, and I just want to tell everyone that, you know, I do have some difficult news to report to everyone. I'm going to be leaving the country. I'm going to move to Mauritius, which is a an island country in the Southwest Indian Ocean.
I think it's Mauritius. Is that?
Well, it's Mauritius. Hmm. So I'm going to go with Mauritius. Which
more issues?
More issues.
You might be a dork if you're ready to move to a country without knowing how to pronounce it.
Yeah, well, it's about 900 kilometers east of Madagascar. And as Rudyard Kipling said, first God made Mauritius, then he copied it and made paradise. Sounds like a nice place. And they are going to have coast-to-coast.
Who said that, Milton?
Rudyard Kipling.
Oh, him.
I've never kippled.
You may be a dork. You never kibble.
Let me tell you, they are going to institute coast-to-coast free wireless internet over the entire country. And apparently it's one of the nicest countries on Earth. It's got very high per capita income, multicultural, democratic, stable. Supposed to be a wonderful place. And now they're going to have free internet. So, you know, if I'm not going to move there, I'm definitely going to
vacation
there someday.
Is it a vacation place? I mean, could we?
Oh, for sure.
We should broadcast from there.
I think it's very popular with like the European traveling crowd because it is over on the other side of.
Are there foam parties?
Other side of Africa.
I bet you there's foam parties.
I'm thinking of Mallorca.
Ibiza.
Mm. Or let's go to Sardinia or.
So wait a minute. Hold on. So Mauritius here has free Wi-Fi access. What's their pipe to the mainland?
That's a good question. I guess within
within
the last couple of years, they built a 1,200 kilometer fiber optic pipe under the ocean.
Under the ocean, so it's embedded in the Earth's crust.
I guess, or maybe it's just in the water. I don't know. The point is that they have a fiber optic pipe to the mainland.
Is it just one? Well, just one fiber optic? I mean, what, you know, there's speeds here. You know, just one fiber optic line does not a big pipe make.
They get 10 kilobits per second.
Can I read the data going through that by looking at the light flashes coming out the end?
You actually can.
All right.
You can actually hand count that. All right. We are going to take a break. We'll be back in a couple of minutes to talk about some other crap.
Join us every Sunday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. for Primetime Polkas here on WERE 1300 AM. Our polka family of Richie, Sharon, Melvin, Ginger, Al, and Marianne would like to invite you and your family to spend Sunday evenings with us from 6 to 7 p.m. for polka music, the community bulletin board, oh yeah, polka music, guests, giveaways, excuse me, did we mention polka music? And a good time. Don't forget Primetime Polka, 6 to 7 p.m. every Sunday evening here on People Power WERE 1300 AM.
Boy, I love wrestling.
Then you should play IWA.
What's the IWA?
The Imaginary Wrestling Association. It's the greatest fun since wrestling itself. You create a wrestler, manage his career, and compete against other wrestlers from around the world for championship titles and prizes. The IWA lets you trash talk and do sneak attacks. They even have specialty matches.
Oh, that sounds great. How do I get started?
Go to playiwa.com. You could be
the new world champion. When you've got the intense one-of-a-kind flavor of Doritos chips, there's only one thing to say. Crank it up! So we cranked up nacho cheesier Doritos to be even better tasting. Think 11 on a scale of 1 to 10. With a powerful crunch to wake the neighbors, leaving ordinary snacks in our flavor-packed dust. Can you handle the amped-up intensity? If not now, when? Want a chance to win a VIP concert experience? Check out the Doritos display at your local convenience store. Go to innw.com for details. No purchase necessary. Doritos. If not now, when?
Hi, I'm nobody in particular, and I'd like to ask you a question. Are you dissatisfied with your current IT service provider? And by that I mean, is your computer guy a jerk? Are you paying $100 an hour, $125 or more for IT service? In other words, is your computer guy ripping you off? Does your computer guy leave more problems than he fixes? Essentially, does he know what the heck he's doing? Call the Comm Group today and get the level of service you desire at the price you deserve, with in-home rates as low as $50 an hour and in-office rates as low as $75. That's KOMM Group at 216-556-0141. That's 216-556-0141 or kommgroup.com. Don't be scared. Call the Comm Group.
This is Doug McGill and Paul DeLuca reminding you to tune in to Cleveland Business Radio every Thursday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. for more of the most dynamic business people making a difference in Cleveland.
And don't forget to visit clevelandbusinessradio.com for details about our show and to sign up to receive our guest list. Each week we'll tell you about our upcoming guests and give you a not-so-subtle reminder to tune into the show. That's Cleveland Business Radio every Thursday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m.
When you went to Adams, you might have been called a spaz, or a dork, or a geek.
We know you're not on the phone with a girl, so call us instead at 216-578-1300. And now, back to Dial-A-Dork.
Indeed, back to Dial-A-Dork. We are back, 578-1300, that's area code 216. Or you can email us at dorks@dialadork.com. That's hyphenated, dial-a-dork.com. We are having a t-shirt contest. You either call us or email us. Finish the statement, you might be a dork if. And it's kind of like you might be a redneck if, but in this case, dork, nerd, or geek will suffice. You might be a dork, nerd, or geek if you have a power converter and an Altoids can, or if you still have your old Commodore 64 like I do.
And if you're a creative dork, you might write in and say you might be a redneck dork if.
Do those exist?
I don't know.
If you're redneck dork, please
if
call us.
If your iPod's up in blocks in front of your apartment.
If your CPU is on cinder blocks.
That's right.
You just have a motherboard sitting on cinder blocks with the wires running out of it.
If you build a gun rack into your tower case.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. That's real nice. I like that. Hey, you know, I don't know if anybody saw this, but Google... As if the other search engines weren't big enough targets, now they're going after
PayPal.
Now they're going after PayPal, which was responsible for some $200+ million in profits for eBay last quarter.
Quarter?
Possibly.
Are you sure? Who cares about numbers?
All right, maybe last year. Regardless, PayPal fees are right up there with credit card fees, you know, like the fees to accept credit card transactions.
Which
are like 2.9% or something, some insane figure. But so Google's going right after PayPal with something called Google Wallet, or at least that's the test name for it. And you know what? I bet it's going to be better because just everything Google does just seems to be better.
No.
Like the web accelerator was better?
That thing was pretty sweet.
No, it
saved
me
13.75 seconds in a full 2 weeks of usage.
Let me divide that out.
That will do to the
All right, you're right.
Nation
that one, Mauritius. That one didn't work out. They need it in Mauritius.
It's a bold thing. They just need to be able to lock people into buying things. I mean, the reason people use PayPal is because people use eBay.
This is true. I've seen a number of online retailers who go through the PayPal process, as do we.
Sure.
For instance, if you went to dialadork.com hyphenated,
but we just
you could buy a $10 t-shirt through our PayPal interface.
We want the network effect. We want whoever's using the most. And Google may have a larger plan than we know of, but the things I've seen them list so far, that will be using this is their ad program, which is very cool, but not, you know, a ton of people are using their ad program. And then there's a, I think there's a video thing they're plugging that may be coming out soon where you could upload a video and charge people to download it, and Google gets a piece of that, very similar to the eBay kind of model. Those are the two big money transfer things I've heard about so far, and neither of them sound like a killer app for this wallet.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
In my opinion.
I'm sure there will be more to this story.
They're very good at many things.
I have to believe that maybe they, you know, I mean, why can't they get into a price war with PayPal?
I don't know if there's a, it's a commodity. I don't know if there's a lot of room for price war there.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if I was somebody who was doing, you know, many transactions a month on eBay, and there's a, quite a lot of those people, I might be inclined to, if I could save a percent, a full percentage point.
You could look at changing over, but there's a lot of worries about trust. Google's a pretty big name. You might trust them. But actually, a lot of people are starting to worry that Google's trying to be this overarching, have all your data kind of company, and this is one that people might worry more about that than others.
I'd be interested in hearing about what kind of security they're providing with this wallet service. You know, PayPal, like Russ said, has kind of established itself as a trusted purveyor of internet services. And Google, what do they provide that you actually have to verify or you know, use over an encrypted channel? Yeah. Anything?
Mail, a little bit of mail.
Is there mail over encrypted channel or not?
I think you can get it over. I've seen some Firefox plugins to do it, but maybe not.
Yeah.
Well, look, we've got a couple of email questions that are, and a couple of items of interest that are relevant to this. First of all, Margie in Mentor says, all my friends yell at me for not using PayPal. Well, you know, Margie, I think your friends are being a little rough on you, but all right. How do I get an account, and is it safe, and why is
you
it so...
You might be a dork if all your friends are yelling at you for not using PayPal.
Well, yeah, and why is it so darned important? Well, it's not really all that important, Margie, and I really don't know why your friends are giving you such a hard time, but...
Maybe she owes them money.
Go to Good call. Go to PayPal.com and just sign up for an account. And there's a number of ways that you can use it. I mean, you can use it as a way to send money to other parties, and you don't ever have to fund. You know, you can fund your PayPal account and put money in it, and I think it earns like, you know, money like 1.5% interest or something like that. And then you just, you know, use money out of that pool that you've made for yourself and to buy things like off of eBay or whatever. You can also just do it straight from a credit card or just pull the funds straight from a bank account, and you have to kind of go jump through a few hoops to get that to happen. You can also receive money from people. There's like a personal account that's free, and then there's like a business account that they start taking all the big commissions out of. And
well, and that's kind of thing. To me, probably the most important thing for people out there listening. If you are interested in running an internet business, or if you're interested in taking your company onto the internet and selling some of your product, maybe you're a jewelry maker, or you know you're doing some pottery,
a Faraday cage maker.
This is one of the most affordable ways to get merchant services up on your website for people to be able to pay for your product.
This is true because
actually, Irv, I believe that if you want to receive money through PayPal, you have to put in a bank account number, which they verify by depositing a small transaction.
You might be right, because then I think you can do a wire transfer for free. It takes like 3 or 4 business days. You can have them send you a check though too. So I don't know.
I think you do have to put in a checking account if you want to receive money.
That's fair enough.
Regardless, they have procedures that verify, you know, the businesses, who they say they are,
so
and that everything's safe.
I think what we're trying to say is, yes, you know what, it is safe, okay? Their website does not, it's extremely strict with some of their security. Like, sometimes you can't, like, use the back button or the refresh button or whatever. Everything, you kind of have to, like, log in again sometimes, and it's kind of nice on that, you know, as if you... The sessions time out quickly. It's a safe website, and you have to log in each time you use it and all that kind of thing. You can't save my identity kind of a thing.
There is a flip side to PayPal. I generally trust them with identity type stuff personally. I'm not a paranoiac on that level, but a lot of people have had problems with the customer service with PayPal. And apparently they've gotten better, but if you go to, I think it's called paypalsucks.com and something like that out there, describing the horror stories of people who've gotten ripped off by third parties and had trouble finding recourse with PayPal.
That's true.
Because they are not, you know, Capital One. They are not
That's true.
A credit card company.
They're
like
really like just an escrow company, really. But the thing about it is that there is another security problem. All right, that's pretty good. Before I get to that, we should read, you might be a redneck dork if you keep your Death Star playset in a gun safe.
There's no you might be about that.
Yeah, that's pretty much a done deal. The thing about the PayPal, and this really isn't PayPal's fault, it's that PayPal has to be one of the most frequently phished websites I've ever seen. I get two or three emails per day telling me, oh, you've got to come here and confirm your account status or your account will be suspended, blah, blah, blah. It's all crap. Anytime PayPal sends you an official email, first of all, they will address you by your name. They will not address you by dear customer, dear email address, dear whatever. It'll be addressed to you using your name, and they will never give you a link to follow. They will say, please go to our website, please log in, and please follow these instructions, okay? So, you know, basically, PayPal in and of itself is pretty darn safe. It's the unscrupulous people who are out there phishing and trying to steal PayPal's, you know, user information that make it unsafe. It happened to my mother, you know? It happened to my mother. She accidentally followed one of those phishing emails, and she went to her PayPal account 2 days later, and somebody else had put a mailing address in there and was working on getting some money out of it. So, you know, it was...
But she caught it.
She caught it, changed her password, mm-hmm. got rid of that mailing address, and contacted PayPal right away, and, you know...
I think that that's
the best you can do. Protect yourself the best you can.
Yeah, well, and that's another thing for everybody out there that does business or does personal business on the internet. Keep track of your accounts, you know. Log on once a day.
Absolutely.
Or log on, you know, every 2 days.
At least once a week.
At least once a week.
I usually check everything once a week.
Everything?
Everything.
Yeah. I ain't going to do that.
You know what? It is worth your time to keep track of your finances.
Russ has
you know.
Very few assets, though, so it's...
can't get blood from a stone, baby.
Can't get blood from a turnip. So, Yoko, that redneck thing was an email, and yes, we will send a shirt out to that individual post-haste. He happens to be a friend of the show, but he gets a shirt. He doesn't have one yet. He definitely gets one. We have another email. It's kind of referring back to what we were talking about before. Lewis in Lakewood says, can you recommend someone to perform a security audit? Is it like the movie Sneakers?
Yes, it's exactly like Sneakers.
First, Robert Redford shows up.
Yes, yes. Well, the answer is no. I cannot recommend someone to perform a security audit because I don't know. I honestly don't know who does that. I think you should go to securityaudit.com.
No,
I really don't. I would Google. Might Google security audit, or I might use a word of mouth situation there.
A friend of mine is involved in a company that does security audits. I can't remember the company name though. So
I'm sure he'll be thrilled to hear that.
Well, what do they mean by security audit? I'm not even sure.
Well, think about it this way. Okay, so you are a company running a wireless portion of, let's say, you're running part of your network wirelessly. You wanted to, you decided that you're going to audit your IT department's efficiency or, you know, performance. You hire this company to do a security audit. They will, as part of their responsibilities, come over and, you know, sniff your wireless network, see how quickly they might be able to hack into it. They will attack any open ports that you have that are internet facing. They will look at your policies and procedures with, of course, your approval. And evaluate those against some quote-unquote best practices, and at the end give you a hopefully objective and honest report as to what they found. Now, I have to say that on occasion, your IT staff might be a little bit hostile to this kind of thing, but... any real professional will understand
will welcome the information.
It's wholly necessary. It's
start brushing up the resume.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, it would be it's a heck of a lot worse to have an unscrupulous person bust into your network and cause all kinds of havoc, as opposed to having a scrupulous individual bust into your network and cause all kinds of havoc.
I don't know if Lewis is talking about
so that you know what
company audited. Was that what he was asking about?
I think he really wanted us to talk about the movie Sneakers, which I liked.
Well, yeah, they open with a scene where
astronomy.
You might be a dork if you like the movie Sneakers.
I'm definitely a dork then. no, but if he's talking about actually a firm like full company-wide security audit. Yeah, these are a lot of the important things, but users, I don't think, need to worry on that level. If you really want to, talk to your cousin or your buddy down the road or the guy you knew at work and find out more about your wireless network, you know?
Ask your cousin.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much standard practice.
Hey, we're everybody's, you know, dorks or cousins.
Wait a minute. You could always just call this show, or you could email us at dorks@dialadork.com.
You don't need a Cisco certified security specialist to come and lock down your home network by any means.
But it is worth your while to, you know, ask somebody who knows something, or go out on the internet and kind of try to help yourself. There's a few programs out there that will.
Well, it's got to be the cost benefit analysis is what you have to do. Is it worth the time and the effort to, you know, you have to ask yourself, what am I willing to put up with? What am I willing to lose through a security breach?
Ask yourself this question.
It's like how often do I have to do backups? How much can I afford?
I don't think it's quite like that, but ask yourself this question. If you have sensitive information on your computer, like, I don't know, Quicken files or maybe TurboTax files.
Or even QuickBooks.
What do you mean by QuickBooks? All right, I'll get to that later.
You know, it's sensitive, got account
everybody
numbers.
Everybody thinks it's important, but do they really have account numbers in them?
Everything's in there, including information that enables you to download the information from your bank if you have that set up. And think about, you know, the people in your neighborhood or the people that come through your neighborhood.
Who are the people in your neighborhood?
Okay. If they're, if those involve script kiddies or those type of people might be interested, you know.
Who are the script kiddies in your neighborhood?
Who are the script kiddies
That's
in your neighborhood?
That's actually a great point. If you live around a lot of 14-year-olds with computers, you don't want a wide-open wireless network because they'll be bored.
Yeah,
they will
exactly.
come on in.
They'll be bored. They will find you.
Right. It's not about malicious intent. Sometimes
exactly.
It's just about something to do.
Yes,
well, anyway.
Indeed. Here's the thing, though. Lewis, we will take a look at the marketplace and see what kind of services are out there because, maybe he is involved in a larger scale operation that has the budgetary capability to actually do a full security audit.
You know,
I wonder,
what about these companies like Dorks on Wheels or Geeks on the Go or that kind of thing?
Geek Squad,
there we go.
I don't trust those guys.
You don't trust those
Geeks on Call?
Those are people straight out of high school or
Trust me. It's our opinion, of course, you know, because this is our business. This is what we do. We make house calls. We make small office calls. We do computer systems maintenance. We are, you know, kind of a fractional IT department. And, you know, if you really trust the folks over at Best Buy or something like that to manage your computers and fix stuff, then by all means, go ahead, and then call us later when everything is screwed up, or just call us first and get it done right the first time for a heck of a lot less money too.
Well, it looks like we're not getting sponsored by Best Buy.
We just won't let them listen to this particular show. No, and I don't think we are going to get sponsored by Best Buy, but Micro Center.
But
I'm
like
looking in your direction.
That's right. We like Micro Center.
Yes, we recommend Micro Center indeed. You can get Micro Center is the closest thing to a hardware store for geeks. Okay, it's like the Home Depot for geeks. It's got everything.
Isn't that weird how Radio Shack used to fill that void, and they just don't seem to cut it anymore?
Well, you still
there
have
was
to
a major story about Micro Center in the national news on Slashdot this week.
Really?
Yeah.
Can we get to it after the break?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm nobody in particular, and I'd like to ask you a question. Are you dissatisfied with your current IT service provider? And by that I mean, is your computer guy a jerk? Are you paying $100 an hour, $125 or more for IT service? In other words, is your computer guy ripping you off? Does your computer guy leave more problems than he fixes? Essentially, does he know what the heck he's doing? Call the Comm Group today and get the level of service you desire at the price you deserve. With in-home rates as low as $50 an hour and in-office rates as low as $75. That's KOMM Group at 216-556-0141. That's 216-556-0141 or kommgroup.com. Don't be scared. Call the Comm Group.
Hi, I'm JB. What would you say if I told you there's a simple test that can help determine if you have diabetes? What if I told you all you had to do is knock your socks off? That's right. All you have to do is to take off your shoes and socks and have your doctor examine your feet at every visit. Believe it or not, the feet can often show you signs of serious medical conditions such as diabetes. 18 million people in the U.S. have diabetes, and over 5 million of them don't even know they have it. It's impacted my family as well. That's why I'm joining the American Podiatric Medical Association, urging everyone to have their feet examined at every doctor's visit. People with diabetes and their families need to pay special attention to their feet and watch them carefully for complications. So knock your socks off and have your feet checked every time you visit your doctor. And if you notice anything like redness, numbness, swelling, or inflammation, or if your feet feel cold to the touch, see a podiatrist right away. Early detection is the key to prevention. For more information, visit APMA.org.
Boy, I love wrestling.
Then you should play IWA.
What's the IWA?
The Imaginary Wrestling Association. It's the greatest fun since wrestling itself. You create a wrestler, manage his career, and compete against other wrestlers from around the world for championship titles and prizes. The IWA lets you trash talk and do sneak attacks. They even have specialty matches.
Well, that sounds great. How do I get started?
Go to playiwa.com. You could be
the new world champion.
Hi, I'm Joe Rossman, the Motor Doctor, and with 25 years as an ASC certified technician, I can help save you money and get your car fixed quicker and easier than you ever thought could happen. Please call us with your questions, and I'll help you answer those problems on Auto Talk Tuesday night, 7 to 9, WERE.
Why do you think you're a dork? I don't think you're a dork.
We know you're not on the phone with a girl, so call us instead at 216-578-1300. And now, back to Dial a Dork.
Welcome back to the show. We're here for the home stretch. Give us a call, 216-578-1300, or email us at dorks@dialadork.com, hyphenated. Give us a call or an email and answer this question, or finish this sentence. You might be a dork if blank. You win a T-shirt. We've already got some examples, such as if you might be a dork redneck if you keep your, what was it, Star Wars Battle Star?
Death Star
playset in your gun safe. So I think that's
redneck dorks.
That's
you don't
redneck
have to
dork.
Combine the two. You just get extra points if you do.
How about this one? You might be a trivia dork if you know that the dodo was originated from More Issues.
Not More Issues.
Oh,
Mauritius.
Mauritius.
Gosh.
Come on.
All right.
Come on, people.
You know, Irv, they have wireless internet here. You don't have to go to off the coast of Africa to get that.
Yeah, but it's pretty sweet over there.
You think? You hope?
All the coconut milk you can drink.
Genocide and whatnot.
We received an email from good friend Ryan B., who's out there. And Ryan has suggested that for a larger firm, companies like Ernst and Young at one time did large-scale audits, and may still.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that probably makes a lot of sense.
I mean, professional consulting companies are going to be doing that stuff, people with IT wings. Absolutely.
I wonder if, does a company like Gartner Group, do they strictly do research, or do they actually do any kind of, like, on-site stuff?
They're a research group, mostly, Gartner.
Okay.
But, I mean, yeah, any major consulting company is going to be able to do that kind of
but
stuff.
But thank you very much, Ryan, and also thank you very much for your redneck dork answer. That's good. You're going to get yourself a nice T-shirt. Nice.
One thing else for the companies out there who might be listening, who are in control IT budgets, put aside some money and send your IT staff to Black Hat training. That's
training for magic.
No, Black Hat is kind of what they would call your internal staff who would try to hack your own system just for the purpose of knowing where your exploits are and then implementing fixes for it. It's just as important as sending them to, Cisco or Microsoft or, whatever, CompTIA training or something like that.
I asked one of my former employers to send me to Hogwarts. They refused.
I just heard that you weren't accepted.
I got fired.
No magic there.
By the way, you got, yes, Russ?
The whole Micro Center thing we were talking about?
Yes. Oh, yes. Micro Center, indeed.
Yeah, there's a story this week that came out of IT Manager's Journal that the major Linux retailers, long ago Walmart was selling
Lindos boxes.
Lindos, yeah. Really cheap Linux boxes, CompUSA, Fry's, and Best Buy. Apparently, they're being very timid. A lot of them are just doing it online. They're not really rushing them into stores. And they mentioned that some small retailers, such as Micro Center, as they say, a small Midwest-based chain, is like jumping in full go with Linux systems, taking the bold step to have Linux knowledgeable clerks and trained sales support for customers like you and me, as they say.
It makes sense. And I think Micro Center makes a lot of sense for Micro Center as opposed to, say, Best Buy, because Micro Center is frequented by those in the know. I mean, people who would actually have any use for Linux or be really interested in a box maybe pre-configured with Linux would actually go to Micro Center as opposed to Best Buy.
Sure.
Yeah, they're definitely more targeted than Best Buy is.
On a totally unrelated note, I was watching ESPN earlier today.
How dare you?
Well, I know. I took a little break from what I was doing, and I flipped over to ESPN. And
which was watching Spice Channel?
No. I don't get the Spice Channel, actually.
Trying to de-scramble the Spice Channel? I took a break from that.
I took a break from that when I turned like 17 or 18.
What, but trying to watch Cinemax when you didn't really have
scrambled
it?
Scrambled porn.
Oh, I saw boobs.
Believe me, that, believe right. me I, it was... It
Moving
was,
on.
I could get into some interesting details, but it's just fun. I shouldn't, Yoko? Okay, fine. All right. Anyway, I was watching ESPN, and they did something... They did something extreme... Owned, probably more like it. They did something extremely bizarre. They brought in a couple of their hockey analysts, and many of us, as you may or may not know,
those guys are really busy.
There was no NHL hockey this year. The players and the owners could not come to any kind of arrangement. So they basically what they did was they played out the entire season using the latest NHL licensed hockey game, and they showed the highlights from the Stanley Cup series.
All right.
And at one point, he's like, oh, yeah. Barry Melrose, I think, was like, oh, yeah, the robotic Joe Sakic's going to get a tongue lashing in the locker room after that terrible play or something like that. But it got me to wondering, though, is could this be a serendipitous glimpse of the future? I mean, we're already got a poke. You know, you've already seen a chess player play against a computer. Now we've got the poker bot challenge coming up.
Haven't you ever read about some of the guys out there who will run a fantasy game through their, you know, Xbox or PlayStation or GameCube, you know, football program? I mean, you know, set it up, let it go, and see what's what.
Yeah, I mean, is this a potential future for sports entertainment? Actually, like watching simulated games or something like that? I mean, if it became actually like photorealistic and looked that good, would you want to watch like the 1929 Yankees against the 1968 Tigers or something like that?
That might be interesting, but I doubt that you would fill up a venue like Jacobs Field or
I'd
something
write a computer
for that
program to watch it.
Fair enough.
I'd have my sim watch it.
But just in case anybody was watching, the Colorado Avalanche defeated the Toronto Maple Leafs 4-1 in a thrilling digitized Stanley Cup. Outrageous.
I'd be entertained if I was sitting around like Dave and Buster's or something and, you know, that was being played or whatnot.
I think it might be kind of fun if it was like watching two people kind of do it like virtual reality or something, you know, and all these connectors attached to them and then you're kind of watching everything play out on the screen. That might be
okay. You're sick and twisted.
You know what they need? They need digitized sportscasters.
The digital John Madden?
Yeah, there you go.
I don't need
any more sportscasters.
I don't think that really would improve things. They are pretty bad as it is. You know, I had a question. Maybe Dewey can address this better than the rest of us. But it's about the Apple. This Apple moving to Intel thing. Now does this mean? Let me see if I get this straight. Does this mean they are moving to the x86 platform?
I believe they're gonna pick up with. Is it the Pentium or the thing that comes after the Pentium that they're gonna first use?
The Pentium. Is it like the 64-bit?
Well Pentium, but
something
Pentium.
Like that?
Well wherever Pentium. They want to pick it up, they'll be picking it up.
Yeah.
Yes, same thing as Windows runs
the
on.
The Hexium?
Yes. Whatever it's
okay.
called.
Okay. Here's the thing. Does this mean that a year from now, let's say, I could go and instead of putting Windows on my Intel PC, I go put OS X?
Well, they're not porting OS X to Intel platforms, but I don't think they're going to be able to stop anybody from doing it, you know, in their basement. So maybe you'll be able to, but I don't think it won't be supported by Apple.
To me, this seemed like a perfect opportunity to make a nice play for the operating system market and try to grab it away from Microsoft to a certain extent. I mean, because the Apple hardware is you know,
well, but Apple's
kind
a
of
hardware
expensive.
Company. They build their software to sell hardware.
Well,
but maybe people just want their software. Maybe people just want a Mac on any piece of hardware. I'm curious though is how would they possibly address all the device drivers?
Well, part of the reason the Mac OS is so good and that it's so well liked by its audience is because they do limit the hardware that it runs on, and you don't have all these crazy issues about my internet doesn't work or my my sound card or my video card.
Instead, you have issues like my sound card costs a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, I totally agree with Drew on this one, and I've read a couple of articles linked off of ArsTechnica.com about what other decisions Apple as a company has been making that kind of indicate where they're going with this whole Intel switch. And I forget the guy's name, but a couple of the opinions have run such that, well, Apple did this, which means that, you know, they are positioning more of this on the hardware end of things, that you might be able to go buy Apple hardware, which I would totally agree with Drew. It is definitely Apple's business that they run everything else off of. The hardware looks great, operates well together, is guaranteed to operate well together, and you might actually be able to run Linux on Apple hardware and have that sexy little Mac Mini, sitting next to your desk running whatever the heck you choose to.
You could probably run Windows on Apple hardware.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Well, you might not, but somebody might.
They would be heathens.
They're
crazy.
You could probably have a dual boot system that let you boot into either operating system, then you can run your applications in whatever operating system they're
running. They're crazy.
They are crazy.
Hey, real quick, we are up against it here. We've got about a couple minutes left in the show, and I just wanted to mention this week's Why Wow, which is Yoko's website of the week.
Whoa.
And it was going to be something called outfox.net, but we said, to heck with that. Go look it up if you want to. What we're going to do is pluggedincleveland.com. Pluggedincleveland.com. It's a website that kind of anybody can go and post to. It's events, things for sale. It's kind of a Cleveland cool calendar. It's got all the stuff going on in town. You can find Dial a Dork is on there, on the calendar every Monday.
Capitalist Cleveland,
I think, is on there. Oh, yeah, listen to Capitalist Cleveland tomorrow morning with Don Larson. I actually might be behind the mic tomorrow.
All right.
Could be interesting.
Are you going to be giving sage economic advice?
Probably not very sage.
Might be yellow.
Maybe like less than basil. Kind of like basil economic advice.
Ochre
economic? Oregano.
Move off the coast of Africa.
Yeah,
right
well,
now.
Invest in Mauritius today. Basically, Plugged in Cleveland is, it's kind of a little bit like Craigslist, I think. But it's kind of like a combination of like Craigslist and like City Finder. It's got like restaurant reviews, events calendar, for sale. People post pictures of them, out and about partying down in Cleveland. It's a pretty cool little website, and it's run by a great guy named Dave Stack, who also runs, I think, Music Stack or CD Stack or something like that. And he has like the biggest CD catalog online or something like that. So he's a really good guy.
I think one of the other reasons it's great is that
it's all free.
User-based information.
Yeah.
The actual users of the website, everybody who registered on Plugged In sends in their information, and you can do that too.
I bought a mini disc player from a 14-year-old kid for $35.
Nice.
Did you use PayPal?
No, I offered him 25. He's like, I gotta have 35. I'm like, all right. I thought he suckered me, actually. I didn't know he was 14. I went over to his house to pick it up, and he answered the door. I'm like, hi, is so-and-so here? He's like, that's me. I'm like, oh, my God. I just got took by a 13-year-old or something.
Not the first nor the last.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a sucker.
We could probably say something about Michael Jackson here, but I'm not going to.
Oh, yeah. we were working on some Michael Jackson jokes over the weekend. I think we came up with one was, what's a good line to pick up Michael Jackson? Like, you want to... Come back to my crib.
Disney World. Oh, nice.
I don't get
that's
it.
So bad.
You don't get it.
You might be a dork if you don't get that.
Yeah. Well, we were sitting around and some kid said, why was it so easy for Terry Schiavo's husband to pull her feeding tube? It was a no brainer.
Oh.
Is that awful or what?
Truly tasteless.
DialaDork.com. We edited that out of the show, right? We dropped that out of the show, right? All right, we're gonna go now. Tune in next week. See ya.